Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Documentary Nirvana. So promises Magellan Television, home to more than 3,000 movies, TV series, and specials, available anytime through many smart TV products. Managing Director Greg Diefenbach joins me next. BET revisits landmark moments in U.S. history through the new series Boiling Point. Explore what's boiling next half hour with executive producers Jason Samuels and Mitch Weisner. Also ahead, HBO Max ups its ante, our classic trivia question, and bring back those game show parting gifts. We'll explain in our takeaway of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker and Tuner Radio, presented on Verbal, Amazon Music, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in this program. 68 beautiful sunny degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and we welcome you this Friday afternoon to the program about TV's current and future. Great to have you with us for the next hour and change, and we invite you to be part of the program and interact with our guests. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe. You're on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and Tune In Radio. Shy about the phone, no problem. Use our chat room to get your thoughts around. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tune In screen. Follow the instructions, other people can be live with you. Greg Diefenbach from Magellan TV, live with us from San Francisco after these news notes. Both the short and long-term outlook for HBO Max turned brighter today. For the near future, the mega content venture will debut its ad-supported version in June with $80 million in sponsor commitments already in hand. At an investor presentation this morning, Parent Warner Media Chief Executive Jason Kilar disclosed that HBO content on this HBO Max format will run commercial-free. And day-and-day Warner Brothers movies will not run on the ad-supported version. On worldwide usage, Warner Media now expects HBO Max to have at least 67 million customers and up to 70 million by year's end. That's up 10-15% from December 2020. And by 2025, HBO and HBO Max combined will have between 120 and 150 million users, way ahead of earlier forecasts, between 75 to 90 million. Separately, HBO Max will launch new cooking competition, Baketopia, on March 25th. President Biden's pandemic address last night reached 19.5 million viewers through CBS, Fox, NBC, ABC, and Univision. Data on viewership elsewhere, cable included, is expected to be released later this afternoon. Now quickies, a Doris Day scripted miniseries with Kaley Cuoco playing Day is coming together at Warner Brothers. Day also is Turner Classic Movie Star of the Month this month. Killing Eve's producers have signed Lucy Hale of Pretty Little Liars fame to star in Ragdoll, going to production later this spring for AMC. Celebrity gossip game Tattletales is coming back in reboot fashion on HBO Max. This run will have co-hosts Aisha and Stephen Curry. Sci-Fi's final season of vampire fantasy Van Helsing will start April 16th. And Will Forte will star in Expiration Date, a new scripted drama series for Peacock. And that is news notes for today. Documentaries have always been a part of television. Back, one of the biggest hits early on in the 1950s was Victory at Sea, the World War II documentary with the great music score by Richard Rodgers, great narration by Leonard Graves, and produced by the late great documentarian Henry Solomon, who really established the mode for documentary series. And throughout the years, there have been all sorts of great programs like Biography, The 20th Century, The 21st Century, many great specials from the selling of the Pentagon to current specials running all over the place. Well, there's been an effort along the way to do a full-time documentary service. Initially, there was a program, there was a project called the Documentary Channel, ran for several years, then it merged with another channel to form Pivot from Participant Media, which ran a couple years on its own. Well, in recent years, there is now a series, a service all its own called Magellan TV. It's all about documentaries available 24/7 on demand. It is running on Vizio smart TV sets and also on many smart TV devices. Joining us live in an interradio exclusive from San Francisco, the managing director of Magellan, Greg Diefenbach. Great good Friday afternoon to you.
Thank you, Simon. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It is a pleasure. We appreciate you being aboard. How's Magellan doing?
Magellan TV is doing great. As you can imagine, this pandemic, as terrible as it's been for the whole world, for those in the home entertainment business, we've got a lot of people at home, people who are curious about documentaries and want to spend their time doing something worthwhile. And that's kind of where Magellan TV lives. We call it television worth watching, and it's proven really popular in the last year since our launch.
Mm-hmm. Well, how long did it take to launch this? What was the impetus behind putting the service together?
Well, you know, we've been in the documentary video on demand distribution business now for almost 10 years. My partner and I, back in about 2010, recognized that this whole video on demand revolution was going to make the demand for documentaries take off. And so we started a company that focused on the distribution to all the platforms that were launching. Hulu was one of our big partners early. We were an early large supplier to Hulu. Then over the years, we realized that there was a space for a direct-to-consumer subscription documentary service. And it took a long time to build the technology and make sure we got the user interface strong and attractive. And we, about a year ago, launched the Magellan TV subscription service, which focuses, as you said, just on documentaries. It focuses on history and science and nature, and we also carry some true crime and mystery programming as well.
How many subscribers do you have right now?
We're not releasing the subscriber data yet. We're growing fast. But we're not yet releasing publicly the subscriber data.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you say if so far things are going, you know, as expected, better than expected in terms of gaining customers? And how much do they pay, by the way, per month to access your product?
Yeah. The price of Magellan TV depends on how long you subscribe for. On an annual subscription, it's $4.99 a month. And then if anyone comes on board monthly, wants to do it, it's $6.99 a month. We also have a two-week free trial period. So if anybody wants to come on board, check it out, see if they think it's worth it for the long haul, we think they will. So we're happy to provide the free trial. They can sign up and take a look. And folks can also just browse it at MagellanTV.com or on any smart TV. They can go in and take a look as well.
Craig Diefenbach is the managing director of Magellan TV. It is the all-documentary smart TV distributed service available, as I mentioned, on Vizio smart TVs, other smart TV models, as well as Amazon Fire TV, other smart TV products available all over the place. Craig joins us live from San Francisco this half hour on Smarby Televised, and we're happy you're joining us as well, wherever you are across the country, around the globe. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Joining you for the Promobot TV's current and future. If you have a question or comment for Greg, well, pick up the phone and dial it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Got a pair of terrific shows coming your way next Monday and Friday at this hour. Coming up on Monday, you'll meet a production company that just formed a $10 million fund to help mission-driven content get off the ground and get into your homes on television. The company's called Kickstart Entertainment. You'll meet the head of inclusion there, Wendy Guerrero. And Nick Jr. has a brand new series coming out called Baby Shark's Big Show. We'll have the executive producers of the program, Tommy Seiss, Gary DeRaphael, and Whitney Rawls. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Smarby Televised. And coming up a week from today, we got a blockbuster show for you. Fox is bringing back America's Most Wanted with Elizabeth Vargas as the host next week. We'll have an exclusive interview with the showrunner of that program, John Farrakhan. And one of the top people in the world of unscripted television, Tom Beers, who's been with us before. He is back with us for the first time in a long time. Deadliest Catch, the show originated on Discovery Channel, goes into its 17th season this month on Discovery, and he's got a brand new program on Vice TV just premiered called King of Kush. Tom Beers, exclusive with us, along with John Farrakhan, America's Most Wanted, 1 week from today, live, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tamabi Televised. What are you learning about the taste of the people subscribing to your service about what kind of documentaries they like?
Yeah, that's a great question, Simon. You know, the big surprise, and it wasn't such a big surprise for us, but I think the surprise for the rest of the industry, and something that's been proven out in the last few years, is that the appetite for really deep dive documentaries, very intensive intellectually is stronger than anybody had thought. And so, you know, some of our most popular shows are some of the shows that you might think are the most challenging. I think of titles like, you know, The Secrets of Quantum Physics. That is a really popular show on Magellan TV. It seems to be the subscription documentary environment seems to attract people who really want to take a deep dive into programming. They're not just your casual viewers. They really want to explore a subject that they're passionate about, whether it be history or science, and they want to be taken to a place and shown programming that just isn't available to them in kind of the traditional linear and cable markets.
Mm-hmm. How much of your content is, let's say, been made in the last 3, 4, 5 years or so, and how much of it is the classic documentaries that, you know, were prevalent on TV, starting with broadcast television, the 50s, the 60s, and 70s?
Oh, we don't have anything that old, really. We have maybe a couple of classic pieces, but really the documentaries are recent. They're in high definition. Many of them are in 4K. They're coming, some are produced in-house by Magellan TV, and some are coming to us through our partnerships, our co-production relationships with distributors and production companies around the world. But it is new programming. It is not old programming. You know, we're focusing on a lot of kind of cutting-edge subjects, so the documentaries have to be current.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to the interest in classic programming in a moment. But first, when it comes to current, is there a particular category of documentary programming that has surprised you in terms of viewer interest?
Well, viewer interest in cutting-edge science is really strong. You know, whether it be space exploration or biomedical exploration, that's an area of great interest for a lot of people. I think of shows about, you know, there's the science of the gut, how we've learned more and more in recent years how the physical anatomy of your body, your stomach, and all the microorganisms that inhabit your body have an enormous influence on your brain and your mood. And this is new science that's coming out that people are very interested in. And so, you know, that sort of thing is appealing to people. Also, I would say the history subjects are strong always. New perspectives on old conflicts, new material being treated in new ways that bring different aspects of whether it's World War II or Vietnam, they bring them to light in a different way. Those subjects are always interesting to people. And then the one genre I would say that's, I think, been a surprise for our team has been the strength of interest in true crime and mystery, whether it's historical. We have a great documentary on Jim Jones, and the People's Temple tragedy, and the Manson family. You know, these true crime is of great interest to our audience.
Mm-hmm. How do independent filmmakers get in touch with you and put their work up for consideration on your service?
Well, most of the filmmakers are coming to us through relationships they already have with documentary distributors. But we do have some direct relationships with documentary filmmakers, and they can just go to the Magellan TV website, magellantv.com, and they'll find contact information there.
Mm-hmm. What about films that have become documentary contenders for the Academy Awards or for other or for film festivals? One of the issues has been that documentaries like short subjects, like other categories, are not being seen in movie theaters. Obviously, the pandemic has really hurt it even more, but even before that, there was all this issue of documentaries that that get up for the Academy Awards. When you see the ceremony on ABC, they don't get enough love because the filmmakers don't get enough love because people don't see them in theaters, with some exceptions. Sometimes you get the Michael Moore with Fahrenheit, you know, with his Fahrenheit movies, or Roger and Me, or you get Steve James and Hoop Dreams get their shot. But for the most part, a lot of these documentary films that are Oscar nominated don't get the love from movie theaters. So when you see the filmmakers accepting the Oscars, like, you wonder what who the heck they are. So I'm wondering if there's an opportunity for Magellan to try to bring some of these talented makers to light.
Well, we would love to have that opportunity to do that. We generally don't. A lot of those kind of documentary filmmakers go into a different market, and they tend to want to make sure that they get that exposure. As you say, they've got to get that theatrical to be eligible for those you know, the Academy Award documentaries. We just have lots of award-winning films on Magellan TV. They tend to be films that are they've won awards in other markets, not Oscar contenders. But yeah, I think, you know, something that's high profile like that, that's exactly the kind of thing we'd love to have more of that on Magellan TV. We tend to have the films that are of special interest to people who are passionate about particular subjects. So if people are passionate about science, they come to Magellan TV. If they're passionate about history, they come to Magellan TV. Those are the areas that where we have a particular strength.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned the tease that in addition to running movies, you also have television series. What are some of the TV series that you play on Magellan?
Well, we have a lot of series that are, in various genres. So I think of a series that we brought to Magellan TV through our relationship with the BBC. We brought a series called Warriors, which looks at historical figures, big historical figures. It looks at Spartacus. There's an episode on Spartacus. There's an episode on Attila the Hun. There's an episode on Napoleon. These series are very popular, and it's great to have series, right? Because one of the challenges in all of this VOD OTT space is that there's so many choices to make, right? You're inundated with choice. So if you can find something that you like that you can pick up for, more than just one hour special, you find something that you like and you want to watch more of it, better, because you made your choice, you like it, and you continue and you can continue watching.
Mm-hmm. Magellan TV is our opening subject this half hour on Tomorrow I'll Be Televised. Tom Havlon with you live from Nueva York, and joining me live from San Francisco on the other end of the U.S. of A. is Greg Diefenbach. He is the managing director of Magellan TV, which is now in its second year and is available on Vizio and other smart TV sets, plus other smart TV devices available somewhere near you. And if you have a question or comment or many minutes with Greg, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember last year we showcased a project called Rival Peak? It's an interesting project on Portal TV. That's Facebook smart TV device, as well as Facebook Watch, available on many smart TV sets and devices, where it's a competition series where all of the players are artificial intelligence video created, and you get the chance interactively to work with them. Well, I'm happy to tell you that we've got the final score on Rival Peak, and it may be the beginning of a whole new world for television. Jacob Novak was on our program last year. He's the head of GenDig Technologies, the company that put it together, and he will be back with us on March 26th. That's Jacob Novak from GenDig and Rival Peak will be with us on March 26th, which, by the way, is 2 weeks from today. And by the way, also coming up a week from Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, and we'll have three episodes during that week on March 22nd, the senior producer of the new ABC News magazine, speaking of documentary programming, Soul of a Nation will join us, Catherine McKenzie. That's Catherine McKenzie from the new ABC News magazine, Soul of a Nation, which is now running, I believe, on Tuesday night. That's all coming up later this month right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Greg, what about short subjects? Do you take them as well? And if so, what's been the reaction?
Well, we have very few short subjects. We have a few. We have a few short subjects that kind of focus on space and space exploration. Short subjects, one of the great things about video on demand in general versus, traditional cable or linear television is we've all been liberated from the clock. So we don't have to cut the clock, and we can take shows of various lengths. And we like that. We embrace that. But at the same time, we find that really short subject material, for the reasons we talked about just a minute ago, there's so much choice that goes into making your selection. We've always kind of felt a little disappointing to have, go through this choice process and then just have a very short thing to watch. Our environment is really kind of a lean-back environment. You make your choice and you watch it. You watch it. You get to enjoy a full program. So most of our content is full-length, half-hour or hour, and a multi-part series.
Well, speaking of half-hour, hour, multi-part series, there is a great repository of classic television programming from the 50s on that I'm sure still has an audience, whether it's programs like Victory at Sea, Biography, The 20th Century, You Are There, Project 20, the set of great documentaries around the 50s and 60s, the Bell Science series, a great set of documentary specials. And a lot of them are timeless. A lot of them have really do hold up. What about the possibility of, let's say, trying to get some of this classic programming that YouTube for, at the moment is not running?
Oh, I think it's a great idea. You think about some of the great documentary work that was done, and it's evergreen. And even if the film formats have changed over time and the look is a little different, it's fascinating to see the world through, you know, that perspective. So we would welcome that, and I'd like to do more of it, frankly. I myself think back on what kind of launched me into my documentary television career, and I think back on those classic Jacques Cousteau specials or those Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom when I was a little kid. I loved watching that material. And I think there's a certain audience for nostalgia around those things that we could probably tap into.
Have you tried to reach out to the people that control the rights to a Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom or the 20th Century, which I believe is CBS News, or the Jacques Cousteau specials, which was ABC, or Saga of Western Man, the great documentary specials, and David Wolper, for example, another, you know, one of the great documentaries of all time. Have you tried to reach out to those folks to see if you can get the rights and be able to show that work?
No, we really haven't, honestly. We've been so focused on the new shows and the cutting-edge shows that we haven't really looked back on with an eye to the older content. But I do think, as you suggest, I do think there is some audience for that viewing, and I think it'd be a fun thing for Magellan TV to look into further.
Mm-hmm. Where do you see Magellan going this coming year and years beyond? For example, do you see the possibility that down the road, whether it's near or far future, Magellan becomes a place where original documentary series or specials are commissioned?
Oh, yes. So, you know, as we look to the future for Magellan, there's kind of two areas, I think, in the next year that are really going to take off. And one is the growth of international distribution. We've seen Magellan take off in the U.S., but just in the last year, the global audience for Magellan TV has grown so quickly that right now, 40% of Magellan TV's audience is watching from outside the United States. And that was a shocker for us. The uptake internationally has been very strong. And then the second piece that I think is an obvious growth area for us is increasing the amount of original production that we do. We are working on original shows all the time, both in-house and in co-production relationships. We've got a few coming up we're really, really excited about. We are working on a two-hour special with a physicist named Jim Al-Khalili, who we've had a number of shows from. And he does space science and cosmology, and he's got a two-hour special coming up. It's an original production with us and our partner TVF that's called How We Got Here, which is kind of a cosmological tour de force from the beginning of the universe all the way to today.
Mm-hmm. Would you consider docudramas or programs that are
we've actually done a fair bit. No, we actually do. Historical docudrama is a kind of a sweet spot, too, for Magellan TV. We did a series called Ekaterina on the history of Catherine the Great, and that was straight-up docudrama, multi-part series, and it was very popular. And so we welcome that, and we do more of that.
The name of the service is Magellan TV. It is the all-documentary service, and it's available on many smart TV models, including Vizio. It's also available on many smart TV devices, whether it's Roku, Amazon Fire TV, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. For more details about the service online, here's where you go, www.magellantv.com. That's www.magellantv.com. Now available all over the place through smart TV products. Greg Diefenbach, the managing director of Magellan, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on your first year. Hopefully an even better second and years to come. It's been a pleasure to have you with us. And all the very best to you far into the future.
Simon, thank you very much for having us.
It is a pleasure all the way. Take care. Have a super weekend.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Greg Diefenbach, managing director of Magellan TV, joining us live from San Francisco. More tomorrow will be televised coming away, but first some more from the fine folks at Audible.com. Do you want to better yourself in life? A lot of people do, certainly as this pandemic winds down, and it is winding down. But one thing people are realizing is if you want a greater life, you got to work at it. Well, there's an audiobook that can help you do that. It's called How to Do the Work. It's by Dr. Nicole LaPera. And you can get it as one of your trial books attached when you get a subscription through a one-month trial to Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, oh, and very much inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Verbal, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, etc. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, it's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook, 1 month trial, check it out, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, and for a limited time only, free health and wellness information. Oh, and get this, if you're already an Amazon Prime member, you get a bonus, a second book you can order from, and that can be from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. It is fast growing. Everything from original audio productions and podcasts, Best of Broadway, Off-Broadway, and Regional Theater that's coming back later this fall, and also great one-woman and one-man performances. So how about making this the time how you can hear how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world? Like I always say, it makes a fantastic gift for you or someone you love any time of the year. Again, for all details, it's audibletrial.com/televised. This is Tomorrow Be Televised, the program all about the tube, and we are with you Mondays and Fridays. Read from Eastern New Pacific right here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Once again, we got two episodes coming your way next week, three the following week. Coming up on Monday, we'll have the head of inclusion at Kickstart Entertainment, which has set up a $10 million fund to help get mission-driven content off the ground, including a new series involving Gina Davis. Wendy Guerrero, the head of inclusion, will be with us. Then in the second half hour, we'll have the folks behind the new Nickelodeon Nick Jr. show, Baby Shark's Big Show. It's executive producers Tommy Sika, Greg DeRaphael, and Whitney Rawls. And then next Friday, 1 week from today, we'll have the showrunner of the new Fox version of the long-running hit America's Most Wanted, John Farrakhan, to be with us as our first exclusive guest. And then one of the top people in the world of unscripted television, Tom Beers, makes a return visit to this program. Deadliest Catch, one of the first series he did for Discovery Channel, now in its 17th season. And he's got a brand-new program, I believe it's his first for Vice TV, formerly Viceland, King of Kush. That's next Monday and next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And the following week, we'll be with you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Coming up that Monday, we'll have the senior producer of the new ABC News magazine, Soul of a Nation, Catherine McKenzie. And on March 26th, we'll have a return visit from the folks behind Rival Peak, the very popular interactive project on Facebook Watch and Portal TV. Jacob Navik, who we had on the program from the parent company, GenBit Technologies, will be along. So a lot of great people coming your way over the next 2 weeks, right here exclusively on Tomorrow We Televise. Well, our first half hour was all about a documentary service. Our next half hour is all about one of the newest documentary series around. It's Boiling Point on BET on Tuesday nights. And we'll have the two executive producers responsible, Jason Samuels and Mitch Weissner. They're both with us live from the New York metro area. Also coming up in our next half hour, our classic trivia question of the week. And right at the top of the next hour, our takeaway of the week. You know what? It's time to bring back those parting gifts you find on game shows, because lately there haven't been much in terms of parting gifts. I'll explain why, and we'll do all that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. Here's the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, and Tune.com. Together, reach over 55 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, BTR is your home for Sports Beat Radio. Check it out today. The latest in action, including all the college basketball tournaments, men and women's going on around the country, the spring training with Major League Baseball, NBA basketball action, a whole lot more. Sports Beat Radio today, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, exclusively here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised on this beautiful Friday afternoon here in the New York metro area. 68 degrees at the top of the hour. We had 71, by the way, a couple of days ago. We came very close to beating a record. And I believe in Newark, they actually had a record of 75 degrees. Tom Allen with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us on this Friday. Be involved with our guests coming up in the next half hour. What you got to do is pick up the phone and make your move, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. As I mentioned before the break, in our first half hour, we showcased Magellan TV, which is a documentary service that is available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Our second half hour deals with one of the newest documentary series around. It's on BT, and it's called Boiling Point, and it's about important milestones in African-American U.S. history that changed and transformed the way we think about what's going on in this world for a long time to come. Well, joining us live from the New York metro area are two people at CBS News and BET who are making this program possible on Tuesdays at 11 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Joining us live from Mount Vernon, New York, is executive producer Jason Samuels. Jason, welcome in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure. And joining both of us from the New York metro area, other executive producer Mitch Wisner. Mitch, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Simon. Thanks for having me. Nice to be here.
It is a pleasure. Same here. And Jason, we'll start with you. How long has Boiling Point been the works for? What triggered it?
Well, I think Boiling Point is really a manifestation of the opportunities that the Viacom-CBS merger has basically created, an opportunity for different channels to work together to develop programming. So around the time of the merger, folks at BET and CBS News were trying to think of ways we could work together. And I think Mitch and his team came up with this concept of going back into the past, using their rich archives to connect to some of the issues that Americans are grappling with today, specifically Black Americans. And out of those conversations came this incredible six-part documentary series, Boiling Point.
Mm-hmm. Mitch, one of the all-time great CBS News series in the history of documentary series was the 20th Century, the Walter Cronkite program that Bretton Benjamin and his group did for nearly a decade, and it's about the 21st century. But the 20th Century is all about the great mileposts of history and some of the sidelights in history. And it sounds like Boiling Point is trying to do the same thing in a way to deal with mileposts when it comes to African American history. Is it fair to make that comparison?
Absolutely, absolutely. What we sought to do is really exploit our tremendous CBS News archive. It's the oldest, largest TV news archive in the country. It has literally a few million hours of news coverage, and it's covered, as you can imagine, most of the key events, starting in the late 40s into the 50s and beyond, and through today. So there's a variety of programming and material we can mine from that. And what we did really in this instance with Boiling Point is we combined two things. We looked at the national moment we were in following the tragic killing of George Floyd last May and the national conversation that it provoked. And we took that idea and we looked at our archives. And we saw some really deep coverage from our news division across the years and across the decades that covered key events, key historic clashes over systemic racism, and the kind of coverage that that would lend itself to looking at today in the context of this national conversation, in the context of this just tremendous upheaval and protest and turmoil over systemic racism in our country. So we went back and looked at some of those key, famous or infamous episodes, and I could tell you more about those. But that was the idea. So the material kind of met the moment, and it was a great opportunity, as Jason said, for us to work together and do this docuseries.
Jason, given that you had six episodes to work with and so many situations you could cover, how did you and Mitch and the rest of your production team come up with the six subjects? What did it take?
Well, I have to give credit to Mitch and his team. You know, what they did is they looked at the CBS archives because they wanted to really have the real meat of the documentary live through the archival footage. So what they did is they looked in their incredible library of content, archival content, and saw where the stories were. CBS News was there at the time and had the materials so that you could tell the story through the archival footage. So, for example, CBS News was there when John Lewis faced off against the Alabama State Troopers on the bridge in Selma. So it would lend itself, obviously, to doing an episode on that moment. And similarly with the other moments, Attica prison uprising, you know, the images in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. And so I think that was the kind of the operating principle, what material lent itself to telling the story through the voices and the images of the people who were there on the ground.
And Mitch, once you determined this was going to be a subject, what did you do in terms of archive work? What did you do in terms of original research, maybe doing special interviews to sort of put things in more contemporary context?
That's right. We did a combination of those things. So we mined our archives really deeply. In fact, you know, you mentioned Walter Cronkite a while ago, and we went back and really exhumed old film reels from our archives. There are still film reels that have never been transferred, and that in this series for the first time saw the light of day. Outtakes from old stories, old CBS News reports. Old coverage from the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite. And we went back and identified where our strengths were in these historic moments, from George Wallace's stand in the schoolhouse door in 1963 to John Lewis and Bloody Sunday in 1965, through the LA uprising. In 1992, after the beating of Rodney King and others, and we culled those and identified key interviews, key coverage from back then. But we wanted to go really beyond just sort of trapping them in a historic frame. It wasn't enough to just go back and tell a really interesting story about something that happened 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. We really wanted to bridge it forward. And as you suggest, we did that with new interviews, with current interviews, with thought leaders, authors, academics, scholars, and principals, people who were there at the scene. And we interviewed them today to give the stories a fresh coat of paint and to present them in a modern context. I hope we were successful at that. I think we were. It was really important to BET that we do that. And it's really one of the fascinating things is that all of the themes that ran through these key episodes are still very much alive today. So school desegregation was an issue in 1963. Well, it still is today. It's a burning issue. Many schools are still to this day desegregated in America. There's an urgent debate over voting rights in America and the question of voting suppression. So that wasn't just relevant to 1965. We're talking about it today. We're talking about mass incarceration and prison reform, the same issues that gave rise to the riots at Attica. And police brutality, of course, is perhaps the biggest issue that's still sadly alive today. And that was true during the L.A. riots in 1992. And it was true for the killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri in 2014. And for the killing of George Floyd in May of 2020. So all those issues still resonate today. So, you know, as we say, the events that grip us today are echoes from the past. We've seen them before. And that was sort of the framework for the series.
The series we're talking about is Boiling Point. It's the new program produced by CBS News in association with BET. And it's on BET Tuesday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. We have executive producers Jason Samuels and Mitch Weisner with us. Jason from Mount Vernon, New York. Mitch from here in New York City. And they're both with us live this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And they'd like to hear from you. So give them a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Simon, I'm with you live from New York. Happy to have you with us on the program all about TV's current and future. 683 is the top of the hour. And like I said, we want to hear from you, so make the phone ring. Sooner you do, sooner you get your thoughts with us interactively on the air. Jason, of all the topics that you and Mitch worked on, what was the most, I guess, the most unique in terms of the kind of depth that you had to do to bring the subject to light?
I think that Mitch and his team, what was one aspect that I thought was fascinating is the episode on the schoolhouse door, where you had Vivian Malone and James Hood were trying to enroll at the University of Alabama, and the governor was blocking their attempt and really was challenging the federal government to defy that challenge. What I thought was remarkable about that episode and the ability of CBS News to mine their archives, as Mitch said, as they started to look for footage of Vivian Malone and James Hood, they were digitizing material that had never seen light of day. And as Mitch can tell you, I think Vivian Malone's family, after watching the episode, said, we had never seen that footage of our mother, our sister, our aunt. So this series is literally featuring never before seen footage. And so I think that's part of what is really groundbreaking and compelling about revisiting these episodes in history, and you're seeing footage that had not seen the light of day. And I would also add CBS News, you know, has footage of Vivian Malone that day and that time from 1963, but then, you know, through interviews they did in the, you know, the following decades, they were able to talk to her and James Hood. And it just, it really gives the viewer a very rich understanding of these moments in history, because you're seeing these young people, but then you're also hearing from them reflecting on these events decades later. And that's really the same for all of these episodes. It's really rich and really compelling, and it's not hyperbole to say it's never before seen footage. It literally is footage that people have never seen.
Mm-hmm. Mitch, one of the great CBS News correspondents and anchors, Roger Mudd, passed away earlier this week. I enjoyed his work for many, many years, both as a substitute anchor for the CBS Evening News, then later with NBC, then later with the PBS NewsHour, and more recently with the History Channel. And one of the things that in learning about what he did that was surprising, I didn't know it until Ole Obitz came out, was that he covered the civil rights situation in the 1960s. In fact, many, many CBS News correspondents and even people who later became anchors also did too. And I'm wondering, when you look through the footage, did that surprise you in terms of not only the fact there were so many prominent CBS correspondents, Charles Kuralt, I believe, also did it too, covering these stories, but also the way they covered them?
That's absolutely right. I mean, I've had a long career at CBS News, and I came up and I was fortunate enough to meet some of the giants from the earlier days of CBS News. And so I knew them, I was aware of them, and to have this opportunity to go back and look at this, really, really just soak in this archival material was fabulous. I was talking to my friend and colleague, Sasha Ruther, who's the senior producer on the project, and he had actually sat with Roger Mudd when he was researching Boiling Point, back before we even started talking to BET about it. And he went and visited with him. And he was remarking the other day how nice it was and how kind of serendipitous it was, really, the day of or the day after he passed away, just a few days ago, he was seen and heard in our episode on the schoolhouse door. the famous incident of, you know, George Wallace blocking the schoolhouse door at University of Alabama in 1963. So he reported, as you say, he reported on the civil rights movement. Dan Rather was physically present there in Tuscaloosa, Alabama in 1963. And Charles Kuralt did a lot of civil rights coverage. Walter Cronkite and others, all the giants, the sort of pioneers of American, you know, broadcast journalism. So that was, you know, that was a great thing. And they do a lot of the storytelling. You know, it was our approach, our sort of creative approach, to not have any voiceover or narration in the series. So we're telling the story through the sound of the people who lived it at the time, through the reporters, the correspondents who reported it at the time, and through new interviews of people reflecting back on it today. And so we see and hear those CBS News correspondents through the six episodes of the series, and it's one of the great parts of it.
Jason, what's been the reaction from BET viewers to this so far? What's been expected, but also what's been unexpected in terms of their reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I think that BET viewers appreciate the way that we're connecting the past to the present. I think this is a series that, you know, a grandmother, a son, a grandson could all sit down and watch it. And, you know, the young people of this generation who are taking to the streets and who really led this racial reckoning this summer, some of them may not be completely aware of the sacrifices and bravery of the young people generations ago. So I think that's something that if you're to watch these episodes, it's inspiring to the current generation. Older generations can look back with pride as well. You know, I think these, if you were to watch these episodes, you really recognize the bravery and sacrifices of African Americans and their white allies who risked their lives to try to integrate the University of Alabama, the inmates at Attica who stood up for better conditions of those that are incarcerated. And so I think, you know, oftentimes in the news media, we look at these events in a vacuum without any context. You know, there's George Floyd, yes, but do young people know about Rodney King? Do they know about Emmett Till? Do they know about the use of imagery to engage the public to rise up to demand justice? And these episodes really connect the past to the present in a really powerful way. The producers of this series interviewed Black Lives Matter activists. The activists, there's footage of people out on the streets today who are fighting. I mean, think about what's going on right now about voting rights. Do those that are out fighting for voting rights, do they recognize what John Lewis and his freedom civil rights activists of the past fought for? I mean, it's really, history does repeat itself, and in this case, unfortunately, but the struggle continues, and all of those in the struggle should know the history and the context of what's happening today. That everything happening today is not in a vacuum.
Simon, can I give another example of that? Because it's a great point that Jason makes.
Go ahead, Mitch.
Yeah, it's one of the great things about documentary storytelling, right? And having that kind of time to tell stories. So as Jason said, we always try to bridge the then and the now. So in 1965, a 14-year-old girl named Linda Lowry was among the marchers who stood behind in two lines, column of, you know, two by two, going down the line, approaching the Alabama State Troopers on the Edmund Pettus Bridge on Bloody Sunday, March 7, 1965. She was 14 years old, and she was beaten bloody by the troopers. She is 70 years old today. She's sat for us. She's a wonderful woman. And she sat for us. She's still an activist. She talked about how she received 35 stitches on Bloody Sunday all those years ago. And And then we talked to another young woman today named Chelsea Miller. She's just as Linda Lowry was. Remember, Bloody Sunday was all about voting rights. Chelsea Miller is working to get out the vote. And she's a young African-American woman who's doing the same kind of social activism that Linda Lowry was doing in the mid-60s. And we see Chelsea Miller today. And the parallels are striking. You know, some of it is, it's both fascinating and a little bit tragic that the same work is still required. But the parallels are really interesting, and I think we were able to do it in a very natural, you know, a great kind of storytelling. But that's one example of bridging the then and the now.
Before we go further, by the way, I do want to offer our condolences on behalf of Blog Talk Radio and our podcast affiliates to Roger Mudd's family and his many, many admirers. He was one of the best broadcast journalists ever. And hopefully more and more people will follow the guidelines and the personal principles that he founded and continue to preach throughout his TV career. He was a very, very special human being, a very, very special journalist. One question I want to ask both of you about is how you covered the Hurricane Katrina situation, because this, maybe unlike the other subjects, did not start out as a boiling point. This started out as a weather story, and then it became, because of what happened, what transpired, a totally blown-up story, a totally blown-up situation that you could come from so many angles on.
So I'll jump in on that, Simon. Right. I mean, Hurricane Katrina was an act of nature, right? As you say, it didn't start out as anything but that. And what we focused on, of course, was the response and the federal response, which was terribly inadequate. It was dismissing just a really tragic disregard of the Black community. And the central theme of the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina was that nobody cared, that people were left to their own devices, you know, hungry, driven out of their homes, stranded in the heat at the New Orleans Convention Center, at the Superdome, on top of a bridge, on a road, and treated as a threat and as criminals rather than as victims and refugees. And what we did, because you could say, well, what is the parallel to today? And there's actually a striking parallel, which viewers could see this Tuesday. It's on this Tuesday at 11 o'clock Eastern, our episode on Hurricane Katrina. And the parallel is to the COVID response today. You know, as many people may know, there's a terrible racial disparity in the treatment and the response to COVID-19 in terms of how people are treated, how quickly they're treated, their access to vaccines. And so it falls into a larger sort of umbrella of what we call environmental racism. And we relate, we talk about a so-called Cancer Alley that runs through Louisiana, and chemical plants that too often are put near communities of color. And so too often it's the Black community on the receiving end of an inadequate government response, whether it's a hurricane, a virus, carcinogens, et cetera.
Right.
You get a second season of Boiling Point. Do you already know what subjects or what situations you could not cover with this first group of six, this group of six episodes you'd like to do in a second group of six or more?
Yeah, Mitch, take that on. I'm sure there's, I can think of something.
well, there's a lot ahead. More. These six episodes were particularly suited to the discussion over systemic racism, but you could take this boiling point idea about, you know, historic societal clashes, and you could look at a lot of things, right? you could, you know, you could look at the Vietnam War, you could look at Watergate, you could look at the AIDS crisis, all kinds of things that were just these huge kind of tectonic upheaval in our culture where CBS News cameras were there. So we have identified others. I can't say that we have, we have the next six or eight episodes teed up and ready to go, but we've talked about it, and there are really a lot of rich possibilities.
Yeah, there's certainly no shortage of historic events to chronicle, no doubt about it.
Again, the series is called Boiling Point, and you can catch it Tuesday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on BET, available on cable and satellite everywhere. Check your locals for where it's available in the area. And for more details about the program online, here's where you go, BET.com. That's BET.com, Boiling Point. Again, the Hurricane Katrina episode is this coming Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Jason Samuels, Mitch Weiser, thank you both very much for being with us. It's been a pleasure to have you on, and let's hope that this is the beginning of a long-running dialogue about how we can be a better nation and learn from these situations.
Thank you for having us, Simon.
Simon, thank you very
much.
Jason,
it's been a pleasure. Take care. Have a super weekend.
Take care.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Jason Samuels and Mitch Weiser joining us live for BET and CBS News in New York and Mount Vernon. As it turns out, we're not going to have time to do our takeaway of the week, so we'll do that on Monday's episode. I think you'll find it quite interesting about bringing back parting gifts on game shows because of what took place this past Wednesday on the brand-new Fox game show, Game of Talents, hosted by Winbreak. So we'll have that for you on Monday's episode. Right now, quickly, classic trivia question. If you're first with the right answer, you'll win the Rescue Me Uncensored book. Here's that question. Last time we're offering it on the air. Who sponsored Death Valley Days? Who sponsored Death Valley Days? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. First with the correct answer, you win the Rescue Me Uncensored book. Really, really terrific from that FX long-running series put together by Dennis Leary and Peter Tone. Dennis, of course, coming back next month with The Moody's, second season of that series that started as a Christmas mini-series on Fox last year. And if you would like, if we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in, so do so, and all the very best. Thanks to all of our guests for being here today and all of you for tuning in. Don't forget, coming up on Monday, we'll have the head of inclusion at Kickstarter Entertainment, Wendy Guerrero, and the executive producer of the new Nickelodeon Nick Jr. series, Baby Shark's Big Show, Tommy Seiss, Gary DeVital, and Whitney Rolfe. You came in late on today's program. Want to catch up an episode you missed? Go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out our podcast. They're available for you 27.47 all weekend at iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker Podcast, TuneIn.com, IR Radio, Amazon Music, and Verbal. What do you think about our program today? What's your thoughts on where TV's at and where it's going? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. We always respond to what you have to say because what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other services of this program. Our production associate at BTR is Mandolin. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio, is general manager with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. The co-founders of BTR are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow we televised, brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a free book or two and much more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic weekend. Back here on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Verbal, Amazon Music, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to now and then, please make it safe and make it great. And let's fix this pandemic now more than ever. We are doing it. Until the next time. Oh, by the way, don't forget to set your clocks ahead 1 hour. Daylight savings time starts Sunday, so set your clocks ahead 1 hour. Less sleep, more sunshine. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.